Just gonna set this kind of down here so picks everyone up.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Chris Gantz. I'm the chair of the IID DRC committee. We're gonna first start with a roll call.
So we've got Chris Gantz. You're present. That's great. All right. Robin Schambach.
Here.
Lori Woods.
Present.
John Burr.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Yay. Okay. And next on the agenda is approval of the legal action report, September 18th, 2015. I'm sure everybody remembers exactly what was said in that report. Everybody's had a copy of that. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I noticed when I looked at it again online today, it said revised, as opposed to the one I saw in September when I looked at it, and I was just wondering what the differences were.
Sorry, could you say that again?
One went out on the website in September, and then when I clicked on it today to see if there were any changes, it said revised legal action report, and I was just wondering if there were differences.
Oh, I think it was if I remember correctly, I believe it was just a date issue or something like that.
Okay. And I remember asking about, we talked about the continuation of the wall along 4th Avenue, and you said that had been put in the planning director's recommendations anyway, so it
right.
didn't need to go in.
Right. But,
so. Okay.
If there's no other comments, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Question. Yes.
Excuse me.
Can you send those out when you send out the agenda to the next one?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm operating on memory, and that's always dangerous.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I didn't check the website yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. So
that would be really helpful.
Sure. Sure. Thank definitely.
You.
Sure.
Before we start the first item on the agenda here, we're just going to do a quick round, and everybody will introduce themselves. John, let's start you.
I'm John Marteau, architect at Poster Frost Marteau.
Okay. Matt Stewart with Cypress Civil Engineering.
Chris Cornelier, Foundation for Senior Living.
Corky Poster, principal with Poster Frost Marteau.
John Burr, president of Armory Park.
Scott Neely, architect, design consultant for the city.
All right, Gonzalez, design professional, architect.
Kevin Hall, principal with Cypress Civil Development.
Carolyn Laurie, planning and development services.
Frank Dillon, planning and development services.
Chris Gantz, chair.
Robin Schambach, BWS Architects.
Lori Woods, Recon Environmental.
First item is the IID 15-10, the Mariston Cathedral Square.
Well, thanks for your patience, everyone. We got the technical glitches worked out. So go ahead, Corky. I mean, we're going to present two projects today. One is a mid-rise apartment tower at Stone and Broadway, and the other is the restoration or rehabilitation of the Marist College on the Catholic Diocese side. The projects go together, and we're just kind of excited to share them with you, but the story is that the tower, the apartment tower, sort of helps to subsidize or fund the restoration of the Marist, which has been sort of a struggle for so long. So, next slide. So I just want to touch on a schedule very quickly, just kind of give you a framework for where we're at. So here we are in February at this meeting. The last couple of months, we've been working on a development plan, which is required for site approval, preliminary site approval, for us to score points on our low-income housing tax credit project. April and May, the Arizona Department of Housing will review the proposal. Hopefully in June, if we're successful, it'll be funded. Then the last half of the year, June through December, we'll actually be doing design and construction documents for the project. So what we have here is preliminary in the sense that the project hasn't been awarded the funding yet, and we haven't really been engaged to do a full design, but we've sort of gone way past what we normally would do for an application, and we think enough for the site review. But then, you know, maybe August through October, somewhere in there, we hope to come back to this group once we're in full-blown design and sort of do another review with everyone. And then construction would be sort of 2017. Go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to Matt. He's going to sort of do the IID and site issues.
Yeah, so as John mentioned, the two projects, obviously we are looking to would be to demolish and then reconstruct the diocese office building there at Church of Broadway. And then the second, obviously, is right here is the Marist College, which is part of the St. Augustine Diocese Cathedral site, but is actually being separated from that site to pertain to the IID application itself. Go ahead. So we're all here for the IID. It's the optional overlay zone to promote transit-oriented development, especially here in the downtown core. So we're seeing some of the goals of the project is really the Broadway and Church Avenue reactivating that space, trying to make that corner much more energized and bring that into the light of downtown and create more of that pedestrian and alternative transportation area. And then lastly, being the Marist College, finally renovating, rehabilitating one of the most historic buildings here in downtown Tucson. So obviously with the infill and center, there are certain allowable modifications. Major streets and route setbacks, street perimeter yards, maximum lot coverage, minimum lot size, bicycle and vehicle parking, off-street loading zone requirements, landscaping, screening, pedestrian access, and solid waste. So, go ahead, sorry. And lastly, just sort of the schedule where we're at. We actually just received our second round of comments on the development plan. So we are up this close to having that development plan approved. And hopefully if there's any issues here today, we can address those in our next submittal. But we've already held our neighborhood meeting. We've submitted the design package, which you have in front of you. We were at the Historic Commission last week, and we're here today in front of you guys at the DRC. From here, we'll get the decision letter in the next 10 days, and we'll be able to proceed with getting the approval of the site plan itself, which is a development package, but it's site plan only. Go ahead. So we'll go over the first, which is what we call the mid-rise building, which is at Broadway and Church. So some of the requested modifications that we're seeking for this development is major streets and route setbacks on Church and Broadway. So we're looking to modify that setback requirement. Street perimeter yards, again, Church and Broadway, trying to keep the permeable nature of having a building right there along the right-of-way itself. Maximum lot coverage, we are using more of the site than what would typically be allowed under the Unified Development Code. Bicycle and vehicle parking, we're looking for a requirement of vehicle parking. There will be parking on the first level. However, it will be a reduced amount compared to what we typically require on a development of this size under the regular UDC. Off-street loading, there is a zone right there on Broadway, so we'll look to utilize the on-street loading zone instead of having to construct our own off-site. And then landscaping screening, again, utilizing the permeability and trying to keep people able to access the street and the building itself and promote that activity. Finally, solid waste collections. We've had an agreement with Environmental Services, similar to what you've seen for the One West Broadway project, where the dumpster will be located on the ground floor within sort of the building footprint itself, and management will be responsible for taking it out into the right-of-way for pickup. So here you can kind of see a rough outline of the site itself. The building encompasses almost the entire lot, its lot size in nature. We'll be meeting the interim downtown streetscape policy for Long Church and Broadway. So there'll be additional plantings, additional hardscape to kind of break up the monotony instead of it all being concrete. And then we're also going to try to create sort of a much more plaza open space here at the corner, really activate that area so pedestrians feel invited as they walk by.
You can also show that off-street loading.
Yes. So right in here in front of the Benz Bells is an off-street loading zone. On-street loading zone, I should say.
We're going through the mid-rise first, and I think after this we'll stop and let you guys take action on that. So I'll talk a little bit about the design of that. The ground floor again is parking, entering from the south, lobby along the north, and kind of tucking back around Church here to create sort of a streetscape at the intersection at the corner. Upstairs there's 13 units per floor, kind of in the middle from floors 2 to 6, and there are 10 units on the upper floor on floor 7, and there's a kind of a clubhouse here and a roof terrace and some other amenities. Most of the units sort of look out towards the street. Just these few here look inward, but the east face of the project is kind of the back door, I guess. So this is a sketch of it taken from the intersection. Again, we're striving for it to be urban, residential, and environmentally sensitive. So, again, the glass lobby at the corner. This is kind of a screen wall or an arcade going back down along Church there to screen the parking from the pedestrians. upstairs, we've kind of broken the mass down at the scale of the individual apartment units to create more of a residential feel. We sort of accentuated the corners to kind of ground the building and the urban streetscape. Here's the terrace up here, and then there's just a variety of materials, primarily stucco, but there's three different types of metal accent panels. And first floor would be either concrete block or forged-form concrete. So this is just a quick material palette. This is the stucco, just to kind of show that it's a fine finish, not a heavy or a knockdown. We also have these, you know, a concealed fastener metal panel as the accent material. Also some metal eyebrows or shade structures to provide shade on the windows. And then at the ground floor, either a ground face CMU or potentially even a board form concrete. And then this is the north elevation that shows, you know, a lot of glass and not a lot of shade facing the sort of environmentally facing the north side. Go ahead. South elevation, similar, but here we have eyebrows over the windows to provide shade for that southern sun. Again, the east elevation, sort of by design, is the most blank of the elevations. And the west elevation, again, broken down at the scale of the units, we have the windows facing north to provide shade, but also shade screens potentially on that west side to shade those windows. And this gives you a sense of the scale of the building, kind of in the context, 7 stories here, you know, 4 or 5 stories at La Placita, the Westerner, 21 stories at the Bank Tower. And then we've sort of highlighted the 2 West Broadway to show that 6-story building, you know, how our building fits into that context with the brown house in between the two. So that, I think, what I've shown you so far is what you have in your packet. I'm going to give you a little bit of supplemental information here. This is a sketch, you know, on Church here, just to show kind of the concept anyway, where we have a one-story parking, at-grade parking structure behind this screen wall with some sort of security screen and landscaping in front and shade trees along the street. Another element that's sort of been talked about is this tile work here. Oops. You go back. Sorry. There was a public art project on the stair tower of the existing diocese building, and we'd like to save and sort of reuse that tile. And the concept is we would put it on the back side or the south side of the lobby wall, so that you could sort of see through the lobby to the artwork from the street frontage. Another issue, I guess, that's come up a lot here is the brown house sandwiched between these 2 mid-rise buildings. And go ahead. So a few thoughts on that. One is we've got an access easement on the east side of our property that would be granted to provide maintenance access for the brown house. And we're saying that, you know, the size of it jogs, but we'd go from a minimum of 4 feet up to about 11 feet. So it'd be enough room to get scaffolding in or to maintain the brown house and to provide, you know, appropriate drainage, but also to ground access to them.
So would it be pedestrian access or not?
It would be gated. It wouldn't be typically open, okay. But...
Yeah, it'd be mostly just maintenance.
So it really doesn't go anywhere anyway. So yeah. I mean, it would just go into a fence. That's the southern...
Yeah, I don't think it should be pedestrian access, except for
entirely
maintenance.
A maintenance access.
Yeah, go ahead. We also talked a little bit about the vibration of construction and demolition, and these are just some points that we'd like to make. I mean, this is sort of a means and methods question, but for now we would say that we're committed to no adverse effect on the brown house. We would develop a plan with the general contractor after we get a geotechnical analysis. We'd be agreeable to consult with the City of Tucson or with the SHPO on this issue. We're planning on pre-drilling caissons, so we wouldn't have any driven piles or anything, which I think would be the biggest issue. Obviously, no blasting. But we would have the soil compaction we would do with sort of low impact maybe small lifts and do that in stages. And we will have some sort of higher frequency activities, like large equipment, but at those frequencies, that would be less damaging to the building. So. Also for the brown house, and these are somewhat new sketching here, but the notion with the brown house is that we would have the commercial piece or the first floor would sort of be up at about the scale of the brown house to kind of pick up on that line and sort of pay homage to it. And then also the sort of the line of the fascia on the porch we would pick up in the storefront header, I guess, just to create kind of a compatible scale and pay respect to the historic building while recognizing that we're going to have a much denser project. And same thing from the other side. You kind of see how that scale would pick up, and then that sort of rolls around into the arcade on Church. So that's the last slide for that project.
Any questions?
What's showing on the upper left, is that the seventh floor or another use? So is that apartments up there, just with the, kind of the setback?
Right here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a small setback here, and this is kind of that clubhouse or multi-purpose room that's for the tenants, and then there's a small roof deck kind of at the east corner there.
Okay.
So you're tending towards orange instead of green?
Well, I mean, we've kind of gone back and forth. Me personally, I mean, the more I think about it, I think the warmer color scheme is more appropriate for downtown, but I don't think we're committed to colors at this point.
I didn't go to plans review last week, but they had a final meeting, and I quickly spoke with Chris, and it sounds like there weren't any major issues. Are there any that you can think of that we should review?
I can speak to that in the staff report. Essentially, they echo what the applicant said. The only concern was the access to the brown house for maintenance, and there's ample space to be able to get in there and maintain the historic brown house. Other than that, there were some questions about the streetscape, keeping respect to the scale of the brown house, and the applicants are doing that, as they mentioned, with the ground floor of the building. So aside from that, there were no unfavorable recommendations.
Okay.
In the waste management plan, is it similar to other projects we've seen? You said it's stored in the lower level, and is it brought out to the loading zone?
Yeah, the idea was that the loading zone would be reinforced.
How far back do you want to go?
Into the floor plans.
That work?
Yeah, that'll work. So the idea is the waste will be sort of in the central area, and we'll be able to get those back out. So we'll be able to actually use Jackson as low, and then deliveries and stuff will come up.
So waste goes to the Jackson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Vehicular access will be up at Jackson.
Got it.
And that's a low-intensity street as is right now, and so waste collection is favorable using Jackson.
And the magnitude of that is those larger canisters pulled out, recycling and waste?
Yeah, cubic yard, the big 5 cubic yard. So we'll have two of those. Frequency of pickup will be 5 to 6 days. One for trash and one for recycling. Yeah.
I wanted to ask a quick, may I continue? Yeah. The housing credits, this was raised in one of the neighborhood meetings, and I just wanted to make sure I understood that process. The decision gets made on those in the next few months, is that correct?
By June.
Mid-June, typically.
And that seems very positive and likely, but you don't.
Well, the way the system works is that there's a scoring system, a very objective scoring system, and that in an objective scoring system, you have the ability to self-score. In other words, you can, just as easily as they can, you can determine what your score. And Foundation for Senior Living puts in 2 projects every year for many years, so they have a very good sense of what a winning score is likely to be. We are at currently a very, very good score. For us, the last 5 points scoring is trying to identify local funds that you get 5 points for a 5% investment of local funds in the project. What's tricky for us is that one of the funds that might typically be used are home funds, but home funds would kick in a federal interest in the project, would kick in a year-long 106 review. We are consulting with SHPO, but we are currently not involved in a 106 review in a formal sense. If we went after home funds, which would be relatively easy to get, we'd wind up with a whole bunch of stuff that we don't want connected to those federal funds. We originally thought that we would go after Pima County affordable housing bonds, but we all know how that bond election went. And Pima County put out an RFP for leftover bond funds, but the deadline they gave made it so it didn't work with any of the low-income housing tax credit deadlines. So right now we are seeking to put together a combination of the impact fee waiver, which is actually a Marin Council action, so that counts as a local contribution, and that's somewhere in the order of $450,000, which leaves us about $300,000 short to get to the 5%. We're talking to the various IDA, City of Tucson IDA, Pima County IDA, and the BDFC for that additional funding. If we get that additional funding, we get 5 more points, and we will be very, very difficult to beat if we have those additional funds.
We have a decision, a lawyer's decision. The IDA doesn't qualify as local contribution.
Oh, okay.
That came from Ontario.
That's interesting. Anyway, so we're fighting, you know, so we're at a very good score. We want to get to kind of an ironclad score, and sounds like we're having trouble getting there.
The score is above, they have several categories. They got rural, they got urban, suburban, some priority projects, and so on. And they have set aside for nonprofit. The Foundation for Senior Living is a large nonprofit organization, and we are applying under urban and nonprofit. And the score is a very good score. Of course, if ERTA was not putting roadblocks on this thing, we would have the maximum that you can score, the maximum. But unfortunately, we cannot afford, because of the virus, that we cannot afford ERTA being involved. They will trigger the 106, which will take over a year.
And
take a decision.
And ADOH is the state departments of housing are designated by the federal program to be the administrators of those federal funds. So they will then review all the projects. They will announce in mid-June which projects are awarded tax credits, and we'll know at that point. March 1 is the deadline for the application. So we are...
Exciting.
It's exciting. We're sort of fingernail-biting excited.
But
there are no requirements in terms of things that would affect the plan that you presented here. They don't give that kind of they don't have that kind of criteria. They don't look at it.
The design, I guess, they look at it, but there's no scoring for that.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
But what is very important to us is I believe there are 15 points for prior site approval, and on this site, prior site approval means IID approval, which is why you're seeing much more design work than ordinarily we'd have to submit if we had hard zoning, which is why we're talking about coming back to you and to the Tucson Pima County Historic Commission, because this was sort of a push way, way ahead in the design, and if we get funded, we will start an elaborate design process, and I think it's appropriate that this group be involved again. But we don't want to make that a contingent part of the approval, because the approval is necessary for the site approval, which is necessary for the 15 points.
Great. That helped me understand that trajectory. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And sorry for such a long story.
John? I'm going to ask this. I think I kind of know the obvious answer to it, but the IID doesn't mandate, but it really encourages mixed use and retail on the ground floor, and I'd like to know, again, while we're meeting, why it wasn't considered in this particular package? Because as several of these proposals have been brought up over the last few months, everyone's noted that it's going to be a complete retail wasteland, basically from Stone to the freeway, with the buildings that are being proposed now. So I thought I would ask again formally.
Well, the simple answer is that we, even though we could theoretically have come back for zero parking, we thought with 83 units, we needed the 29 spaces. Remember, it's low income, 40, 50, and 60% of median income. So it's folks with not much money, and it's elderly. So they will have a much lower percentage of car ownership than a typical apartment would. But we felt that we needed to provide some on-site parking. And with the tiny site we have, once we provided the on-site parking and got into the elevator lobby into the building, there wasn't any more site left over. Okay. That's really the simple answer.
The other question, you were talking about creating kind of more of a public plaza space out in front on the kind of curb right of way. Does that give you the percentage of why you're not asking for relief from the plaza?
Yeah, if we start including sort of this entire area up here, we really capture that 5%.
Okay.
And then incorporating some of this area out in here. But using this and having that pulled back and really opening up that whole corner.
You meet the requirement?
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Couple minor comments.
Sure.
Really picky. On one of the details it says bike rack / locker spacing. So are you actually going to have lockers, or are they just spaces?
That's the idea. Is each unit will have a hangar for personal storage for long term bike parking. We haven't worked out the entire details of whether or not a storage room or bike locker would work out on the parking.
Uh-huh.
Floor. In most, what we've seen in most of the multifamily residential that's more market, there's a higher demand. With this being senior, we'll kind of lean towards that's not quite the necessary. Maybe it's in long term or not. But
just a detail to watch for after you get your approval and move into CDs. And one even pickier one, the irrigation meter is not shown at the most current location of the meter per the utility plan.
Okay.
So that's something just to think about for the landscape plans. And fair warning that I would recommend you show all your sleeving on either the utility plan or the site plan that shows all of the tree grates and things like that, to make sure they get put in, because they might not turn to the irrigation plan and see the sleeving until it's all done.
Yeah, for the right-of-way, we will have to meet TDOT standards as part of their plan. For the right-of-way, when we're planting a long church, we do have to meet TDOT standards.
Uh-huh.
So most of those notes are just a general indication.
But I thought the planting list looked good and the plans looked good, more detailed than we've seen in some of the other ones. The two bedrooms, are there two on every floor times five floors? Or I was trying to look at the teeny tiny little site plan.
Except the last.
Right. So the middle five floors, yeah. 10 altogether, two each on floors, two through six.
Okay. And I think that's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions?
One more comment. Not a requirement, but are there, since it's going to be demoed beyond the tile, are there any ideas for reusing the demolished materials? Or does it all just go to the landfill?
Well, typically it's the folks that do demolition sell everything they can possibly sell and don't take it to the landfill, and they net that out in their demolition contract. So almost every demolition contractor I've ever seen goes and does a very careful inventory of what can be salvaged and resold in various locations. And that typically is netted out of their bid price.
And the likelihood for successful reuse of the tile?
We have to think that we will reuse the outside tiles, the ones that are on the corner. And inside there is a stained glass, a large door, and we would like to reuse the stained glass. I don't know where, but somewhere.
We haven't studied how easily those tiles will come off.
Yeah. Hope it works.
Hope so, too.
The tile guy that they could use a problem, they have been like panels.
Yeah.
I understand.
They're individualized, so.
It looks like it's screwed on in panels, and we should be able to take them off and reuse the panels.
No dental fix required. Sorry, John.
What?
I said no dental fix would be required.
Just I'm not squeamish that
Thank
way.
You.
Sure. And a lot of concrete gets recycled at the tanks anyway these days, so that comes out of jobs. They grind it, reuse it in some manner, some time.
I have one more comment. I saw that you brought an update for kind of tentatively showing the screening of the parking. Because all the people who use that will probably also use the clubhouse over at the original Mara structure, that's going to be kind of their gateway. And instead of, you're showing just kind of an open mesh grid with maybe some vines on it, you might want to do more covered louvers or other things so that you really don't have a sense along the church that you're walking next to a parking garage. Because that will be kind of their public space that they use every day. So I'd encourage that.
No, I think we need to study that carefully, but I don't want it to feel like a blank wall either. I mean, we want to try to mimic the commercial sort of scale and proportion of the openings and have some, and we also want some ventilation through the garage, but yeah.
I know you need
there could be a nicer though. There could be a nicer way to do that.
Or an art screen or a punch.
Yeah, sure.
Something that's not.
Yeah, the planting plan doesn't show any vines or planting areas along that screen.
That'll be occurring, yeah, inside the screen.
If there are no other comments, we're going to do this in two motions. The first motion will be on what's presented, and the second motion will be on requesting them to come back when they get everything finalized with tax credit. The first motion would be on this proposed plan. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve is presented, considering your comments.
Second.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Could we actually just go back to get the design professional findings and recommendations?
Oh, yeah,
sure.
We do need. Okay. We need a staff report, too, don't we?
The staff report essentially just covers the historical commission information
Sorry,
that I gave you guys. So the staff report essentially would just cover that.
Okay.
Historical commission.
Before we get to that, staff report.
Okay, so essentially, as I mentioned previously, the historical commission review. We'll just stand in as a staff report. So that's really the only thing that there is to update in regards to this project.
Any chance that could be posted as well?
The legal action report for the historical commission?
Yeah.
I actually believe they're still finishing it up. It'll be posted. In fact, if you guys would like, that can be distributed to you as well, along with the legal action report from this. Those are usually posted to the clerk's website, though, when they're done.
It'd be nice if it were all kind of tied in, so anybody who's looking at this will see the development
sure.
of the review process.
Sure.
That comes in.
And the Zane professional findings were emailed to us right to this time.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, on the 14th. Yeah. Is that
you're familiar with the recommendation that I made?
Yeah, it all looks pretty good, except when we look at shade on the next one.
Oh, okay. Well, this one. Stick with this one. I did address what was happening along that parking screen, and so I think if we can just follow that up with more design development on that screening, that would be fine. But generally, I thought it met the conditions of the IIP, and I recommended it to be approved by.
And just to clarify for all of you on the DRC, there are two separate design professionals assigned to these projects. So Rick is responsible for this one, and Scott is responsible for the one that we're looking at.
Ah, okay. I have Scott's. I do not have yours. When did this come out?
Everything was
yep.
Yeah. It's on the same document, I think. It's part of the same PDF.
No, it's the first time I've seen it.
So the other issue I had was in regard to the east wall. A little more detail on what was going to occur there. That's been dealt with in the presentation, I think, with that equipment. My main concern initially was in regard to the seven exemptions. And I think they were all addressed quite well in terms of design. And that's pretty much all I had.
Great.
Any other questions for either Frank or Rick? Okay. On the first motion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. On the second motion, as John said early in the presentation, and Courtney said as well, is that this is really early in the design process. And I think it actually, the concept presented today really raises the bar in terms of some of the recent projects we've seen. I really would like to have them come back because I'm not sure what's going to happen in the tax credit process. But obviously, then you'll finalize design. So it would be a motion to request that they return and present the final design.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
I don't know the timing yet because they may want to do some soil studies and have more results.
It's going to happen after June at the earliest.
Yeah.
So it'll be somewhere between July and October.
Yeah, when it's appropriate.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Next on the agenda, IID 15-11 for the Arist on Eagle Square.
Presentation is the Marist College itself. Again, with the list of the same modifications, most of this is based on the fact that this is an existing structure and we're modifying the UDC requirements because this would be technically a change of use. So we're utilizing the IID to kind of put in place what already is existing there now. So major streets and not setbacks, again, we're on Church Avenue. This is an existing structure, so the setbacks don't quite meet the UDC requirement. Same for street perimeter yards. Bicycle vehicle parking, we're asking for a reduction in the vehicle parking to zero. The current spaces that are shown on the plan to be a part of the cathedral site itself, so there will be a cross-access agreement in place between the diocese and FSL for use of that driveway, but the parking spaces won't be a requirement of the 8 units associated with Marist College itself.
Would they have the option of using them or negotiating it?
That would have to be negotiated later. Right now, the cathedral needs them as part of their requirement for their existing, under their existing site plan. So taking those away, we would have to modify their current development plan, not looking at the future. So how that negotiation works out, if the cathedral moves forward with theirs, they would have to work out some additional parking requirements, probably in the garage. But for this purposes, we don't want to alter what's existing there now. We would do some restriping in order to make that road more trying to design.
Yeah, it looks like it's basically totally redesigned the area, but it's essentially the same number of spaces.
Exactly. Landscaping screening, we're just reducing that requirement. Obviously, there is a historic wall along Church and on Ochoa, so that affects our ability to landscape and screen. And lastly, the shade requirement. This is sort of the pop-up issue for this project. Part of what we're trying to do is maintain the existing structure itself and sort of that visual effect that you have when you come down to Church to see the property. There is a significant amount of grade change from the parking area up to the building itself, so this being for senior living, we're trying to create as much accessible ramps or accessible access as possible, so there are a lot of ramps that get everyone up to the appropriate level and work into the building. Lastly, there's concern regarding irrigation lines and water affecting the, it will be rehabilitated and renovated, the existing adobe walls and existing structure itself. With that, we've put in as much landscaping we can in around the building. We put additional landscaping in and around on the north side of the building. However, we're unable to meet the 50% requirement for this amount of pedestrian access that we have. We're hovering around the 35 to 38. Just a quick overview, the existing Marist College itself. Right here along Ochoa will be the historic wall. The parking, this will be a two-way. Right now it's one-way, it will revert back to two-way, and it is wide enough to handle two-way, so it is a 24-foot by PAL. Parking, and we'll be actually creating a dumpster area here, and that dumpster will be utilized by both the diocese for the remaining parcel, as well as the Barron's College itself. So it does meet UDC requirements, which is why we're not asking for a waiver. And lastly, the parking. But it's important to note that the sort of handicap accessible entrance or accessible parking will be here, and there will be a series of ramps to get them up to a level where they will get to the accessible entry point for the main floor, as well as the elevator itself. So there is a lot of hardscape that's being added. Again, that's because of the way the building is situated, as well as sort of the gray difference between the main entry, which is technically on the second floor, and where the parking level is itself.
Parking isn't for the Marist College?
Correct.
But that's your ADA accessible route?
It's the eight, there are two, so if they're coming this way, they'll wrap around the wall and come up this, kind of go down or around. Otherwise, if someone were to park there and utilize that space, they can use the ramp.
While we're on this slide, I just wanted to point out, and it's not solid enough to yet show you, but the City of Tucson is now engaged in a road diet on Church Avenue, providing bicycle facilities and expanded pedestrian facilities. They have money for paint, but they don't have money for any hardscape changes. We've met with the design team for that and talked about pushing the curb out along Church, because that's a fairly narrow walkway relative to that tall wall, with really almost no room for any landscape. And so one of the incentives that the City of Tucson has is a sales tax waiver, which amounts to about 1.5% of the construction costs, which is only waived if that money is invested in the public right-of-way for improvements. So we are hoping, not yet able to show it, but hoping to push that sidewalk out along Church, making a much more substantial and more ample sidewalk to the west of that historic wall, and maybe even create some room for street trees in that process. But that's not solid enough for us to show that, but it almost certainly will be solid enough when we come back to you for when we're in construction documents.
Would there be parking spaces there?
They're currently not on that. And they're going to reduce from two lanes to one lane, so more space is created. So there would not be parking on street, although there is on street parking on Ochoa currently.
There is what?
On street parking on Ochoa currently.
Okay.
It's metered.
And parking garage.
A parking garage.
And what you're showing now, it's a zero sum game here. I mean, you get the same amount of parking that the diocese has right now, so there's no change in the.
No change. Correct.
But there's a change in the configuration.
Yes, in the way the striping is, correct.
And that's just to improve circulation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also want to be able to place a handicap spot in that area. So we have changed the calculation as far as handicap accessible spots, but the overall calculation.
But the handicap accessible spot is technically for the cathedral.
It can be for, yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'll say it this way, sorry. The idea is that we can, the Marist College can move forward in its existing state. So we aren't trying to modify anything that's going on with the cathedral site itself. So as it stands now, we can rehab the Marist without having to do a whole package that ends up changing both development packages itself within both sites. We're very focused on it being able to exist on its own.
So I'm going to ask this one more time just to make sure I'm clear, okay? Sorry.
Okay.
But none of this parking, you have zero parking for
Marist. Zero parking.
Okay. This is just more convenience and to make sure that there is a route from this accessible space to the range of entries that are here.
Yes, and eventually they'll have the range of entry to actually access this site as well.
They will be able to. Got it. Okay,
so
thank you.
It's for both.
I hear you.
But we're capturing sort of an extended area of Marist College.
Okay.
Have you had to add the trash container?
We did add a trash container. So this will be, the cross-access agreement that's in place is over an overarching common area cross-access. So both parties will have permitted access to not only utilize trash, to drive, and to park. So it's kind of be an encompassing agreement itself.
And the way the trash enclosure now is non-existent?
The current trash location is there is an existing loading dock. And the dumpster just sits there. So we'd like to get that out, screen it, and recreate sign that anyway.
Okay. That makes sense.
Will that function as the loading zone as well? Because the clubhouse is theoretically there, so all it's, everything has to come in and out, be loaded in that parking lot.
There's the ability to have a loading zone within sort of the pool and area. And again, that this will then serve as sort of an accessible route for loading and unloading.
But the whole parcel is part of the 55-year lease, but yes. Then you're leasing back basically the parking lot for the 55 years.
Back. Yeah. Through an easement.
Through an easement. Okay.
Yes. A little complicated.
Just a very minor thing. In the addendum, so the curb radii connection goes from 25 feet to 18 feet?
Correct. So at the north side of the exit point for right turning onto Church out of the development here, we've had to reduce the standard UDC requirements at 25-foot radii. We've had to reduce that 18, mostly because, as Corky mentioned, this area is very tight. There's only about 4.5.
That makes sense. I just thought it was a lot. I thought it was 5.5 feet on the site plan.
Oh, for this?
Yeah.
Oh, no. 18-foot radii. Okay. You're talking the sidewalk width?
Maybe No. The turn into the...
We had an we originally...
Oh, that's... I read
sorry, that was a revision.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
So in our conference, we originally made the request at TDOT if we could have it more of a 5-foot standard exit. They came back to know we'd like to make it as close as possible through that negotiation, 18 feet.
That makes sense.
So we'll actually... There will be a... We should be finalizing with City of Tucson Real Estate, there will be a pedestrian access easement on our property so that people can come back, be able to get to the ramp and cross the entryway. But where the wall is situated, that sort of prohibits us to create that 25-foot. Otherwise, we have no sidewalk.
At that entry, the median that's shown, is that existing or proposed?
It's existing.
Uh-huh. So that stays?
It can.
Yeah.
Again, if the lanes are wide enough to maintain it.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's making it even more tight.
It does. This is actually, each lane is 12 feet.
Uh-huh.
So it looks tight, but it actually meets standard lane width requirement.
Okay.
And we can always have the option of just tearing it out for that. Since most of this asphalt will be redone anyways, it'll probably be better to just take it out.
What are you thinking about if you could have a magic wand on the curb extension, pushing it out? How many more feet?
On this north side? Oh, you mean here?
Yes.
Well, they're talking about adding a more pedestrian and bike-friendly environment, so be able to create a 10-foot bike lane as well as some spacing in between. So I think ideally for us, it'd be pushing, be able to get at least another 5 feet for landscaping.
Uh-huh.
So if we could have 10 feet or for sort of pedestrian sidewalk landscaping from the wall, I think that would be ideal. 12 would
That'd
be great.
Nice.
And we could actually separate from the wall without having any damage.
Right,
right now you're looking at 4.5, 5 feet. And it's very, the wall is another 12 to 13, so when you're standing there, you do feel like you're in a bit of a tunnel.
If you're having problems with that, could you do a parklet or a TRE?
Oh, for us?
Mm-hmm. Or you'd like to make it permanent enough that you get the 1.5%?
Yes. That would be the idea. And since
it's the other way around, we can spend the 1.5%, so we might as well do it right.
Okay.
Because if we don't spend it in the public right away, we don't get the waiver.
Okay.
So it's a pool of money that's, I don't know, roughly $500,000 for both projects that allow us to spend money in the right away.
If you do get that extension on the sidewalk, then it could be planted on the outside of that, correct? So it gets some shading in.
The idea is we wouldn't want it to just be a standalone with the TRE. That would make things a little awkward. But since the Anshinek and the City of Tucson are moving forward with these plans, it's best to try to incorporate any desires that we may have into that plan. Yeah.
Did you have a question?
Sorry, what it's $195,000, not $500,000. Think of another project.
Would it only be in the section along the Marist wall, or would it also continue down to the edge of your property?
Well, it would actually contain both properties. It would also be the diocese property as well.
Further up.
Further up. And Anshinek and the City of Tucson folks were very open to doing this. It's exactly what they're trying to do, and frankly, they don't have any money, so they'd love to see someone else pay for it.
The area within the wall, it's shown kind of stippled the same as the concrete.
Yeah.
Is that what the plan is?
No, in our revised plan, we've actually created some landscape areas on either side. I'm not sure if it's further back in the slide. So we've added some additional landscaping here and kind of defined the path. But the point is, since all new planting is required of irrigation lines, the less water that could potentially be in the ground, we think is better for the building itself, maintaining the existing adobe, but as well as maintaining sort of the facade, which is the historical structure looking out, because this sits about 4 feet above your actual sidewalk. So any tree we plant ends up being even taller. So,
and it also sits about 4.5 feet above the first floor level. So when you're in the basement of that building or the first floor of that building, there's a stem wall that comes up 4 or 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
There's currently a lot of peeling paint on the inside of that stem wall, indicating that there's water trying to get through that wall. And as most of you know, water is death to adobe, particularly the tallest adobe structure in our city.
So what will the use be? Is there no...
Clubhouse.
I mean, outdoors there. How will that area be used?
So it could serve as a public space, a patio, an extended sort of patio space.
Uh-huh.
Tables, umbrellas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It looks a little prison-esque right now.
I completely agree. You know, the suggestion was brought up, can we do sort of shade sails? The issue is we wouldn't want to mount those to the building or the wall itself, in which case we would have to put in individual poles. And does that really kind of lend to the look of what's going on at that corner? Because that really, we want that to be a presentable corner.
Yeah.
And I really work that into the grand scheme of things.
You considered basically on the surface self-contained planters, because those can be watered up through the bottom and then drained out into a French drain that goes completely away from the property.
And I think those can be, I hate to say this, but maybe after the fact, because we wouldn't want to have to install actually irrigation lines in the ground. So if we can actually create those sort of standalone products maybe later.
Yeah, but you might want the drains in the ground.
Right. I'm not going to say we haven't thought and put some thought into it. It's just, where do those become sort of concrete items, or are these planters that can move in the future?
Depends upon their scale, I would think.
Yes.
Our goal is to make that outdoor space a patio that would be very welcoming to the residents. And we'll do whatever we can between now and the time we open the building to make that as pleasant as possible. And there are lots of ways to do that.
So because the treatment for the building is a restoration, there's not a lot of changes to the building or to the environment, but I'm going to kind of highlight the ones. So this is an image from pretty early on in the historic era, I'm not exactly sure when, possibly early 20s, and you can see already deterioration of the plaster here, where the moisture on the dirt inside is kind of wicking through the wall. So that whole issue is a tricky problem, and you know, how much landscaping versus how much water versus how much abuse, that's going to take some further study. But the treatment again is restoration. So early on, there was a kind of a sleeping porch on the east side of the building The diocese report was demolished sometime in the interim. There's an addition here now that we're proposing to take down. Also, this existing opening in the wall, we're proposing to widen slightly, 10 feet, 5 feet in each direction. The diocese feels that over time the campus has kind of been cut off from the community, and they have sort of big master plan ideas and feel it's important to sort of open up this corner of the site. And we've negotiated for a much larger opening stand to these kind of more modest opening here. But the new stairwell and elevator goes down to the east there. Go ahead, Gordon.
Quick question while you're on that slide.
Yeah.
Will you be, when you open it up, will you be recreating pilasters or posts?
Yeah.
Any chance of the pottery accents? That looks pretty good there.
That's urns. That's a good question.
And the other neat thing about this photo is it shows the difference in coloring between the coins, and I think it would be nice to play that up when you get to it.
Yeah, we've talked about that, and the exact colors that were there aren't, we don't have good documentation on that, but if nothing else, we would go with a kind of a two-tone, kind of white or gray to kind of highlight the two-tone patterns on the building. So this is an image from today, looking back the other way, and this is the addition that was put on that we proposed to take down, and we have preliminary approval from the SHPO as well as the Historic Commission recently. Again, this is the opening that would be widened. Next slide. We could talk about the adobe and the plaster all day. I'll just say that the biggest issue here is getting there's a tough text coating on the building, which is a asbestos containing sort of sprayed on paint coating that covers the whole building, and we're going to take that off, and we're going to endeavor to kind of restore the original plaster that we think we can. Obviously there are some damaged areas, but probably 75-80% of that original plaster will be left when we're done. Next slide. Also the windows are actually not in bad shape, the wood sash, and we're going to preserve and restore those. There are a few that will have to be replaced with custom, locally made, or semi-custom to match, but they'll match exactly the windows that are there.
Different panes, or keep the same
pane? Single pane. We might look at doing some storm windows. We certainly will weatherproof the windows. But yeah, we would not change the configuration of the sash to accommodate a more well-insulated system. So there are really three things on the exterior. I talked about the wall opening here. We're creating a mass where to hit on it, touched on it here. We're creating a kind of a ramped access down to the lower level clubhouse. And on the east side, an elevator, a lobby, and stair tower to get access to the upper floors. So the south side elevation doesn't really change. You can see, I'll talk about this more in a minute, but that's the elevator on the east side. We're proposing potentially a kind of a low planter wall to separate the ramp down. And this is just a kind of a quick first pass here, but you can see this upper level here is about 5 feet up from grade. And then we need to ramp down another few feet to get access to the lower level. So separating the parking lot and the drop off from stairs on the east and kind of a ramp on the west. And again, this is the upper floor, the two upper floors. There are four apartments per floor. And this is the original sort of layout of the upper floors. So there's a kind of this T-shaped hallway with the stair in the back, and the stair led originally to the sleeping porch, which has since gone, but kind of alluding to that, that's where we're putting our new access on the east side. And so I've color-coded these. The elevator is kind of a solid mass, and the lobby is enclosed, but it's a glass enclosure, and then the stair is open, but it has kind of a translucent screen on the other two sides.
It's a really interesting structure because the center wall on the left side of this drawing is a 2x6 bearing wall that goes right up through the building, and it splits into two 2x6 bearing walls on the other side. And when you go into the basement, there's one row of columns, big timber columns, going halfway to the building, and then they triangularly split into two rows of columns. And so I don't know what they were thinking when they did that, but it's pretty interesting that you have a one bearing wall system on the west side that becomes a double internal bearing wall system on the east side. And we've actually, it wasn't us, I guess, but the structural engineers poked through, and you can see that those bearing walls are all full dimension timber 2x6s, whereas the rest are 2x4 walls.
Is the stair elevator enclosure then seismically separated from the rest? There's a
2-inch gap. So this is the east elevation, elevator tower, and then the lobby, the glass lobby, and then out here the open stair with these translucent panels on a steel framework with openings sort of punched in where landings would come up, where folks could get a kind of a peek out through the openings. And then the north side, same issue, that we've held the panels off of the building to create some sort of a little separation. But the big idea is to sort of get that intrusive addition off and let the original building breathe and have elbow room, restored back to its original form, and then do kind of a modern but quiet, differentiated addition on the east side.
This drawing also shows the more welcoming entry that's been widened out a bit. It gives you a stronger sense of that monument staircase that goes up and down.
Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, what do you think about the difference with the trees? I mean, is that taking away? Is it even feasible? Is it taking away from the being able see the historic facade?
I mean, I think, you sort of hit on the area of design that hasn't been developed or really resolved, because there's two sort of competing ideas here. I think we all agreed early on that we wanted to create sort of welcoming outdoor plaza areas that could be used by the residents. There are a lot of technical, number one, there are a lot of technical issues with putting that irrigation there. That photo I showed you from the 1920s, there's already problems with that water wicking through, and that's part of a bigger analysis about exactly how we protect those walls. But the other issue is, depending on what type of tree you plant there, are you blocking the vista of the historic building?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting in that photograph that there isn't any sign of vegetation. I actually really appreciate that. I think it's lovely just like that. There's other opportunities for making the space useful for the residents, and I appreciate that, but I also think that that kind of spareness is kind of, it's beautiful.
And maybe the solution is some modest umbrellas, which would probably be below the windowsill.
Something kind of restrained, though.
A little more restrained, and sitting below the windowsill, probably around the height of the top of the wall, right, when all said and done.
And I appreciate that with the addition of the stair piece. I think it's a really elegant solution. It sort of made me think of the scaffolding that they've been doing at the Capitol building. That's that translucent piece. I think it's really nicely done.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of the stairways that they put on a building on the ASU campus, and I can't remember which building it is, but they did a really nice job like that. I mean, just as an aside, when I look at this, it's like, I kind of like seeing the trees, but I like this darkness too. So it's really more of a rhetorical question, but I think that for most people, when they see it, they'll be just so happy to see it restored that they'll enjoy seeing the full-on facade. So
I should say that from the line of that wall down is not adobe, it's concrete. It's really, really bad concrete. It's really
it's scary concrete.
Backyard concrete.
Yeah, kind of walking next to it, it's like, whoa.
But it is concrete, and it's also dramatically deteriorated by that water, as any material will ultimately deteriorate. If that were adobe, that wall would have been long down.
So what do you do for that?
I think the solution is to do what we did at the Performing Arts Center, which is to remove that foundation in 3 foot at a time and pour a new foundation there. We'll get into that in a little more detail. It's possible.
Uh-huh.
If you know that it can be firmed up and replastered. And
devise a system for dealing with the water on the backside. Foundation drains for waterproofing.
Right.
Keep the moisture away from the concrete.
But all that deterioration, as you know, when you look closely, is epoxy and concrete, not in adobe.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the shade a little bit, the La Placita garage is just on the other side, is that correct?
Correct.
So have you run shade studies just to see what the building shading does on that courtyard?
Well, mostly in the landscaping to get to the wall really doesn't provide any.
But the building
shade
itself.
This is on the north.
This is the north side.
This is the north side, right?
Yeah.
Shady in the winter.
Right.
Yeah. We're basing on June 21st. We did. I did not.
Well, I'm just wondering between the two.
Yeah, if
there's
it would.
Something there. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's just a question.
It's a relatively cold patio in the winter.
Yeah.
Kind of like the one outside here.
Any historical precedent on the building for awnings? They were real popular and at various buildings and public spaces around.
No evidence that we've seen.
Okay.
Well, I also like your idea earlier, John, about planters and doing a different system, and that could be done in the front with smaller plants that would bring some green into the area. But I think the trees actually obstruct the view of what is really a handsome building. And I liked your comments about the elevator and stair chef on the left side, because I think that that looks, goes well with it to differentiate it. You can't mistake it for being historic, and yet it works well with the building.
And in a way, it reminds us of this, of the porches that were once there. Mm-hmm. It has that transparency.
The ghost of it.
Yeah, go, thank
like
you,
that.
Ghost of that.
So just thinking about the planting, actually what I was thinking about a couple days ago is low-income people living downtown. Okay, where's the groceries? And yes, now there's one small grocery store downtown, and yes, they will be on the route and the bus route, but it's kind of, it's going to be kind of hard. And if they have planters, maybe they could plant some food. Just thinking about the, you know, the food desert concept and the problem that that presents, because, I mean, not that the grocery store prices, I mean, I think they've done a great job at, you know, presenting a bunch of different food at different price ranges, but it, it's all depends on your perspective if you're 40 to 60% below median different. Just an aside.
Any more questions for the design team before we go on to the staff report and design professional report? John?
Yeah, there's all sorts of little details that show up in the historic photographs, and I was mentioning it to Corky, but it looks like there's aureoles with sculptures, and I don't know if they're there because those corners have been covered with gray plastic for a long time. But some of the different features that may have been lost, I hope you kind of reintroduced by in your taking it back to early historic period.
That's right. Our treatment is to try to restore it to the early era, so that would be one of our goals for sure.
It'd be really good luck if some of those were taken down and hidden in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't know. Could be.
They could be in storage in the Lady Chapel since that's all they've done with it for 85 years.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'll just echo what the applicants presented with respect to the Tucson Yuma County Historical Commission plans to be a subcommittee meeting on January 28th. They attended and presented this IID 1511 Marist College Restoration Project as well. And the general overall feedback was that they were very supportive of the project, very elated that finally somebody was going to focus some attention onto the Marist College, which is a great historic resource in our community. With respect to the alterations to the wall, they were supportive at opening that entry sequence and removing the intrusion and replacing it with the elevator tower and the glass lobby. As contemporary additions were also supported by this.
Questions for Frank? Design professional?
It's a great project. I think the relief sought from the IID standards are very straightforward on the streets, the perimeter yard, landscaping screening, vehicular parking shade. I think that's all great. My one concern is the sort of access, vehicular access. Just that existing parking on the one handicapped spot and sort of arrival departure from the building. And it's a circuitous route from the one handicapped spot to the entry back there. I understand the issues with grade and with the existing parking, but it just seems sort of like a harsh way to kind of arrive and depart from that building, given that it's elderly housing and you've got a clubhouse at the ground floor. That has nothing to do with the restoration building itself. It's a site issue. But I think that is an issue.
Any questions?
That was just my
the
vein of what I was asking before, and I was trying to distinguish between what that parking was serving. So, for what it's worth,
it's diocese parking. I mean, I don't understand the.
I think if it's serving that adjacent use, I think it's fine. If it's serving the marriage, I feel like it's a little, but it's not, so.
We messed with it. We played with the grades a lot, trying to get how can we incorporate other than having a switchback ramp, which we thought just would not relate well to the site. So in this manner, we're able to separate, if we're that far back, that ramp itself, we're able to separate with some planters as sort of a two-piece ramp that goes up. So we thought that kind of merged better with sort of the existing landscape than having a switchback ramp right there as you're walking up. That was a sort of preference, the way they have that tiered up.
Well, in the image that shows the ramp on the on the south side of the entrance back there for the clubhouse, there's not an option for the drop off and loading right by there, so you don't have to go park.
Yes. And the other idea we have now is there is an existing sort of curb cut, so to speak, in the parking lot. So that path we're showing going across is actually an existing route. So that is to keep that from church south of the drive to get across. But I completely understand what you're saying. That turn in is not inviting for sort of a loading and unloading at the closest point to the building.
Right.
Yes. We played with that in the beginning, and we were actually going to have to sort of create a stem wall / loading dock, and we thought that, again, would look have an adverse look to the site itself.
But I think this is something we'll continue to work on. Yeah. Maybe you'll see again in the fall. Maybe
we'll
have a solution in the fall.
If there would be an opportunity to take that road diet and create some drop off there right by the entrance to the ramp down, you know?
I think it would be much nicer.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Just one more question I forgot to ask. I assume all the plantings that are in the current parking lot south of the church or west of the church are actually going to palm trees and so on and so forth. Is there anything there that you're relocating that could incorporate?
There's some saguaros existing right now sort of on the west side of that parking area.
It looks like you're conserving and moving
those. We're moving one for north of the dumpster, but we're conserving, I think, all the other ones.
Okay.
I look at
the palm trees are...
If it's on within that, they will. They don't really provide any shade.
Is there any way? It seems like a lot of the seniors are going to be using that back entrance into the clubhouse. It seems like that would be the place to put in a shading element as part of the dividing planter, because if it's raining or whatever, that's going to be the primary entrance for a lot of these people, and right in that particular area, separate from the building, might be the most need for that, I would think, in terms of actual use during seasons,
so
especially since it's on the south side.
Those bushes were trees, for example?
Trees or maybe some sort of an arbor-like structure there.
This is actually much tighter than we actually have shown. This wall, it's only about 4 feet off of the turning radius itself.
Okay.
So it kind of all pinches down, and then it opens back up.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No, but I think, it would just be kind of shifted back. That's all I meant to say with it. And we did add additional landscaping in the right-of-way around the dumpster.
I'd really encourage you to do that. I think street trees would be a lot better for the site than anything on it besides planters myself.
Well, any other questions or comments? Is there a motion to approve this?
Question to approve as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in seconds. Yeah, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 3-0. Future agenda items?
So now that you guys are familiar with this LIHTC process, there's another project that is desperately trying to get through the EIID process for the similar reason. And it's located at 10 East Broadway, and it's for the west. You would know it as the Westerner building there on the south east corner. And the proposal is for what's called West Point Apartments. And essentially, they're applying for the same tax credit program. And they, again, need to get an approved site plan by March 1st. They're tentatively scheduled to present to the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission Plan Review Subcommittee on February 11th. And
I believe Roseanne from the office actually.
She sent out three dates. Yeah.
Sent out three dates, and they're kind of circulating around. One is actually for the 11th, and then there's the 12th, and then there's also 16th. The 16th. That's because Monday is President's Day, and our office will be closed. The one on the 11th will follow immediately after. If we can get a quorum on the 11th, that'll follow immediately after the Historical Commission meeting, so the applicants will just come directly over here and present. Really appreciate it if we could get a quorum, if you guys are available. We kind of, you know, go for a while without any meetings, and then suddenly there are these deadlines that have to occur. You know, we're trying to do our best as staff to get everybody through the process as quickly as possible, and really everything sort of hinges on their ability to present to you guys and get a recommendation. The 16th is the last day that they could actually present and then get a director's decision and then be able to endure the whole appeal period process, and by the time that they needed to get essentially an approved site plan. So it's really close.
I haven't responded to the doodle. I can make it all 3 days, but it sounds like the 11th would be ideal.
Sooner the better, yeah. And if you guys would just respond to that doodle poll, it would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. So just wedge it towards Thursday.
Did you others respond?
I responded. I am not available on the 11th, but if you have a quorum, then you know, do what you need to do.
It'd be fantastic. Thank you very much.
I must not have seen your name, because if no one wanted to do a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. For some reason.
I can move it one day because I'm not available on the 11th.
Okay.
But I prefer not Friday afternoon.
So, Frank, I was at a meeting with a so-called neighbor meeting, but I didn't feel like I could really notice properly on this. Is that being repeated again?
Right. So, yeah, so staff sent it, and we got some feedback from folks that were at the neighborhood meeting as well. And we recommended that the applicants go back through and do another neighborhood meeting. So that's scheduled for the 10th. They'll conduct the second meeting and do it correctly.
Do you know the time and place? Because I didn't get notice for the first. I got it from Chris, even though I'm the neighborhood of record.
I can send it to you, John. Okay. I don't have the time. I believe it's actually on site. But I'll get you the information.
Great.
For that.
So that's Wednesday the 10th evening. 5 o'clock, I should get in there.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. I'll have to double check that. I don't want to give you misinformation.
And I'm
then go up to all the
and since we'll be reviewing it, I'll bring an alternate from the neighborhood as well.
Okay. So that's, and so right now, and the other kind of important part to recognize per the IID ordinance is that, you know, they essentially can't, the applicants can't do anything that would potentially delist or jeopardize the listing of the existing building on the National Register of Historic Places. And so they've got an addition that they're proposing as part of the design, and we've consulted with them and told them to essentially get a determination from SHPO in the interim as these meetings are being scheduled. But we're trying to get the meeting scheduled in the event that they can get that determination and come in front of this body.
Maybe to the Westerner.
Right. So,
yeah, because we brought up in the neighborhood meeting that they wanted to put dry bed over the existing stucco and close up the entire east side of the historic structure and yada, yada, yada. And
they might have some challenges.
And they didn't seem to be, they were not pleased that we pointed out they should talk to Jonathan Mavery before they came back.
Right.
Yeah. Which was interesting. But
yeah, I mean, so their use of the IID sort of hinges on their ability to do their project and not delist the building. So
yeah,
if they're able to somehow receive a determination that that's the case, then obviously they'll present and they'll get recommendations from the Historical Commission and you guys and be able to move forward, hopefully, and we'll see kind of how that works out.
Can I ask a stupid question? How many LIHTC dollars are out there any particular year, and how many people are chasing it?
Well, usually it's oversubscribed, of course, and there is 13.5 million.
Okay.
For 1 year, which is 135 million. It's
so,
10 years for
so typically, how many are funded each year?
There will be nine to ten projects at the most.
Okay.
How many applicants? Well, probably 40, 45.
And that's statewide, though?
Statewide, that's correct.
Okay. How many in Tucson?
Well,
offhand, do you know?
Depends on the scoring.
Okay.
You know, but that's been a complaint from Tucson, from the mayor in particular, in writing, that Tucson always got the short stick of these allocations. Usually Phoenix got the lion's share.
Yeah.
But it's changing now.
I've heard we kind of got on the map just because we have the streetcar car that's considered transit.
You get a lot of points for being half a mile or less from the streetcar.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a lot easier if you have a long light rail system, not so easy if you have a short streetcar system.
But theoretically, if there's three projects in Tucson and you all score the same, there might be enough funds in one year or another to do all the projects.
But there are various categories. For instance, okay. There is one on the... it's called the Western Station. For instance, it is not in the same category we are.
Okay.
We're in the nonprofit. We would be in the same category than the Westerner.
Okay.
Because they are nonprofit. That's La Frontera and COPE that is doing this project. But depending also what kind of population they are going to put into it. You know, seniors usually have a preference in some, because there are several layers. It's not only the tax credit. We have also the Federal Home Loan Bank in San Francisco that is contributing up to $2 million in these projects. And they have the same kind of scoring, but they got a category called for seniors.
Okay.
That is a preference. Now, I don't know what kind of category. I suppose the COPE will put probably the SMI or homeless. I don't know what kind of category they will apply for.
The rumors are that there might be as many as 6 or 7 applications in Tucson.
That's what I kind of heard roughly. But all right. Okay.
So
all we're in charge of is our project.
It's a matter of scoring. It's a matter, I mean, it's extremely competitive. Now, there is a side door to that. There is tax credits that you have to go on a competitive, but it is what is called a 4% instead of 9%, and that's associated with bonds.
Okay.
So
that's not what we're talking about.
A lot of projects in New York and California are funded this way because you have to go through the competitive. Hmm. Second, you are not tied up to go in a very low income, 40 and 50%. You can do everything at 60 and even you can go up to 80%, which is, in fact, the category that is the less served, you know, nationwide. Mm-hmm. These people that are below the 100%, and there is no source of funding. Mm-hmm. So this is one source that is being tapped. There is way more money. There is no deadline. You can apply all year long. And like I said, there is no scoring. You just have to follow certain rules, but there is no scoring. And they say you get it practically automatically. But there is less equity coming. And, you know, bonds are a debt, so you have to refund them. That's the reason why they allow you higher rents on them. And there are several ways to do projects.
Okay. There's also, if I'm not mistaken, an award at the director's discretion.
Not this year.
Last year there was.
Last year, and I'm the one who promoted that because I had a project. I did St. Luke's in the Desert here, and that project was done at the discretion of the governor at the time. It was Jane Isle that selected that project outside of the scoring.
But that's gone now this year.
What was the project?
Sorry?
What was the project?
St. Luke's in the Desert.
Okay.
That's for very, very frail elderly.
Yeah.
It's an assisted living, that's a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I did that project in 2000.
Okay. Thank you.
Last item on the agenda, call the audience.
So you've made 2 motions on the first project and only 1 on the second. Is that by design?
We should probably.
Well, we could, if you prefer, to have a second motion to come back and review.
We'll bring that other one with us when we come back for the first motion.
But, we don't mind. I just.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for yet again doing professional presentations.
Thank you. Anybody that needs their parking down there?
They are.
Oh, I do have my parking.
I looked at the car, I didn't realize that was an option.
Oh, sorry.
Make sure that's locked.
No, it's not.
We haven't done.
So, what told me that it was great.
We haven't done the exhaust. Are you an artist? You sound like one. You guys are meeting.
I stay in your van, I've been about 30 buildings, I said. So, mainly residential.
I don't know.
Smaller scale, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right.
You have a license, like you got a moderator.
Well, I did mean.
But the world has changed.
Okay, thank you. Bye, John. Bye, Nick.
But no, it's not an unfamiliar.
You too. Thanks.
Not an unfamiliar world.
No, you're fine.